families of all those who have lost so many dear loved ones. I pray you reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit, and on this day when we especially remember them, console them and comfort them and give them the hope of glory to know that they will be reunited with those loved ones, Father. Our trust is in you, not in man. And we thank you for the blessed assurance that you give us, Lord, to know that one day we will see them again. Father, bless everything that goes on today, even the picnics and the barbecues, Lord, the fellowship and the fun and family that we'll be together with and friends. Father, be in the midst of it, and may we never forget those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children in my life. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. To be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died to take that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, oh, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave their right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.
God to touch us and bless us. How many here have a need this morning? God's able, amen? God is able. And I would, you know, it's on my heart. I want to have the ushers to come forward to really pray for this offering. And it's a special day. And let's have a special offering for the church. I was telling Glenn earlier today, which we were talking about, you know, how we're developing and God's blessed us where we could have the new screens and the new speaker system. Come on, let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Especially those who have short vision, long vision. We made the words bigger for you. But I said to him, you know, Glenn, what's so important, the greatest investment you can make in life is for your family, and with that, of course, your career. But the next is investing in the church. Because it's us, it's we who pray, we intercede, that spiritual warfare that goes down, that ignites God, and it ignites the Holy Ghost. And stories after stories during the war that I've read about how God intervened. They say George Washington in one war was on a horse and they shot at him several times. They shot at him and every bullet missed him. And these people were right next to him, the enemy. And God's good. Ernie, I wanted you to pray for this offering if you don't mind. And being in the military, you could stay there. Stay right there. Let's thank God for Ernie and all of those. All of you who are in the military. Just pray a blessing for this offering.
Before you, and we ask that you to bless this offering, Lord God. Touch it, multiply it, Lord God. Multiply the gifts that we've given.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you just touch the people that do give and the ones that can't give, Lord God. We just know that you will touch them also, Lord. We ask that you multiply this, double it, triple it, 100-fold it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. We have a few things. If you have your form here, we're getting some feedback back there. But if you have your bulletin, I want you to just peek at it real quick. We have some upcoming events, and I always like to put some of the notes in there and just recognize all of you here. But we have a family day outreach on our parking lot Saturday, June 28th. And so listen, we're going to have next Sunday, I'm going to have some applications and other things for you to be a part of it. Now, what is Family Day? We're going to have about 15 to 20 canopies out there, and we're going to have popcorn, cotton candy, and all kinds of things, and we're going to have some water rides, right? Right, Dino? Dino's going to help us out. He always does. Big water rides. Then we're going to have a canopy that serves corn on the cob. Another canopy serves watermelon. Another canopy serves drinks. Another canopy serves hot dogs and hamburgers. And here's what we want to do. We're going to get face painting. We're going to have face painting. We've had haircuts. So if you know a barber that wants to come or a hairstylist that wants to come, we'll set them up. We'll have medical teams. They usually come. We've had chiropractors come. We have job opportunities come. Healthcare people come. And it's just a day to bless our entire community. And we're sending out about 14,000 flyers that are going out next week. So expect a whole lot of people coming. And also, we're setting up our stage. Our band, our worship team, is going to have some great music. And we're going to have some giveaways, bicycles and basketballs and all that. It's going to be a great day. But guess what? We need all of you to help us. And the Spanish service is jumping in with us too. It's going to be a great time. So let that resonate. Think about that. If you know anybody who would like to participate and come here, chiropractor, a doctor, or whatever, haircut like that, face painting, just please let us know. And next week we're going to start really pushing that and meet with us. And then I'm going to have a meeting with everybody, a special meeting, so we can really delegate all job responsibilities. Are you ready? Come on, you ready to share the gospel? All right. Amen. Stand with me real quick, please. Whoop. Sorry about that. Our sound guy took a leave of testing. Oh, gotta turn it down. Okay, I'll be sharing using this. I want to share a text with you that really relates about Memorial Day. I think it's one of so many that we could touch on. But there is an instruction Apostle Paul puts down, and I want to share with you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 3 with me and 4. Here's what it says. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look, that's verse 3. Check out verse 4. Listen to these words. Powerful words. No one, watch it. The first one in verse 3 says, therefore you must endure hardships. Verse 4 says, no one engaged, key word, in warfare entangles himself, another key word, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Amen? What a powerful, powerful message. I'm going to give you the title in just a minute, but let's pray. Lord, I pray for this word that would penetrate our hearts. But not only that, God, you instruct us, and you fill us, and you empower us. And God, give us understanding and knowledge. You said my people perish because of a lack of vision, a lack of understanding. Give us understanding how we are to put on the armor of God in the battles we daily face. And we pray a blessing on all of us, especially those who are in a trial right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone say amen. Now don't stand, don't sit. Here's the title of my message. You ready? Here it is. Listen to it. Back off. Because I'm armed and dangerous. Back off, Satan. I should have threw that in. Because I'm armed and dangerous. Can you say that with me? Back off, because I'm armed and dangerous. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, we got the victory. Come on, somebody. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Praise God. This morning, I want to just talk about today, because today is a special day for all Americans, and many other countries too celebrate that. It's Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a holiday filled with parades, as Pastor shared, speeches, flags, powers, picnics, beach outings, barbecues, and bar hopping, and many other things. But the true meaning of Memorial Day is this. It is a day to remember all of those who died in wars that our nation have fought, who have paid the ultimate price of freedom through their death. Now listen to this. Let me give you, I always love to come back to the origin of Memorial Day, because some of you may not know this. The origin of Memorial Day came from black families and leaders who memorialized the young black soldiers who died in war. And this inspired all Americans to memorialize those who gave their lives for our freedom and became a national holiday. And how many here are thankful you don't have to work tomorrow and we have off? Come on, amen? Especially the students in school. But think about this, because those who gave their lives and those who fought are really the real heroes. Amen?
And these heroes are called the real Eddies. Let me tell you what the real Eddies are. And we've heard that over the years. When I was a kid, my dad would say it. These are the real Eddies. And I looked it up. It took me all these years. I looked it up about a couple of months ago. I shared it with Glenn. And here's what the real Eddies are. And the real Eddies that they would say are those who had a training, a special training school that they would go to, and they would go through this school, and they would be elevated in their you know, offices because they went to that school. But here, and who, the one who established this school, his name was Eddie something. But that when it went out throughout World War II, they realized the real Eddies were not those who just went to school, not those who had a badge, not those who had a good A+. The real Eddies are those who went out to war and they fought and they fought and they gave their lives for our countries. Come on, somebody. Those are real Eddies. And so these heroes, you got to understand, these are the real deal. You know, so interesting because my father fought World War II. He was a tail gunner, and on a B-17, they called it the Flying Fortress, and it was shot down on his 13th mission over Germany. My father, being the tail gunner, he saw all the bombs go off in Germany and the towns of the city. He knew there was collateral damage through that. And of course, his plane was shot down. He parachuted out, shrapnel all on his knees. He was captured and spent 18 months at prison war camp. Then came out and was very successful. Amen. But I would say to my dad, you know, he would say he's not a hero. You hear these people. You'll hear it over and over. Any World War II vet that was alive that made it back, and they would say, you're heroes. They would say, I'm not a hero. The real heroes are those who never came back. Those are the real heroes. But I want to tell you, whether you were there, whether you came back, they're all real heroes. And let's give it up again for all of our real heroes. Amen. So listen to this. There are 3 days in the year that celebrate our soldiers. Armed Forces Day. Watch this. For those who currently wear uniforms. Veterans Days is for those who's used to wear their uniforms. But Memorial Day is a memorial to those who never made it out of their uniforms. Did you get that? And that's what Memorial Day is. It's a memorial to those who never made it out of their uniforms. Memorial Day is not about picnics and barbecues. I love picnics and I love barbecues. Amen. Come on, somebody. However, Memorial Day is about remembering our soldiers who paved the way for our freedom with their own lives. Hallelujah. Freedom that allows us, you and I, to go and to be what we want to be. To say what we want to say. To live where we want to live. Freedom to learn what we want to learn. To be what we want to be. Freedom to dream what we want to dream. Freedom to build what we want to build. Freedom to be a pastor, preacher, police officer, or the president of the United States. Freedom to go to church, and most of all, freedom to worship, praise, and proclaim Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the winner of all wars. Come on, somebody! Woo! Can I preach a little bit more about freedom? Can I? I love it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you are free. Amen. Because listen to this. Our freedom was given to us because our soldiers died for us to win the war. Memorial Day is a day also memorialized with the greatest soldiers in human history and the greatest soldier in human history, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is really our commanding chief officer of human history, who won the war of eternal life, and we're able to declare and proclaim John 3:8-36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. We got freedom. Amen. We have freedom. We tend to forget that. Freedom from drugs and alcohol. Freedom from lust and money. Freedom from depression, guilt, bitterness. Freedom from hatred. Freedom from prejudice. Freedom from failure. Freedom to become all you can be. Freedom to succeed. Freedom to be healed. Freedom to receive salvation. Freedom to enter the holies of holies. And freedom to receive the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, we got freedom. Woo! Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, though, check this out, because he was a soldier. He knew a little bit something about becoming a soldier. Paul learned how to be a soldier, not by theologians, like I said, the Eddies, not by theologians or Bible school graduates, not by a denomination. Check this out. Paul learned how to be a soldier by the greatest soldiers mankind will ever know. Watch this. Paul was raised by a bunch of fishermen. Paul was raised by a bunch of tent makers. Paul was raised by a bunch of tax collectors. Think of that. Who walked with Jesus and were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's who trained Paul up. Amen. They didn't have professors or theologians. They had people who experienced the power of the Holy Ghost and shared the Word of God and trained up conquerors to conquer the evil forces of hell. Come on, somebody. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. I'm thankful that I graduated. My wife and I went to Bible college and we graduated Bible college. It did well, but really the greatest training was in the field. Amen. And that's why we're having Family Day, because it's an opportunity to share the love, to bless people, to give and share with all of them how much Jesus loves them. So Paul was raised by a bunch of these people, and so awesome. Now, toward the end of Paul's life, and remember, 2 Timothy is one of his, of Paul's last scriptures and last letter. And in 2 Timothy, it's the end of Paul's life, and he writes this. And you gotta understand how he's writing this in the context of what he's writing. It's the end of his life in 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul, which is his last letter, while, listen to this, he was facing execution for his commitment to Christ, he sat in a cold Roman prison, cut out from the world, and Paul states in verse 4 as he writes this, check this out, "For I am being poured out as a drink offering, my time for my departure is at hand." Now watch this. How many know here that when they're called deathbed confession, that they rely on that? That is credible. It really is credible, even in our judicial system. Paul, in his last days, think about this. He knew that he would soon be executed, and so he wrote his final thoughts to this young pastor named Timothy. And what is Paul doing? Paul is passing Timothy the torch, the banner, the mantle of leadership upon him. And remembering him that he to tell Timothy to rise up and stand in the face of adversity. And this message is for you and I, because we all are facing adversity. And he said this to Timothy, "You're going to become a pillar for the next generation." Can I say that to you, all of you here, especially to the young folk here, especially to 35 and younger? Let me put the 40s in there. All right, let me put the 50 in you. All right, let me put the 60. Let me put the 7. I don't know if there's any 80 years old, amen, but even 80 and younger, amen. Uh-oh, there's 90 years old. That's right. All of us here, God, this word is being passed on to this generation, to your generation. And Paul challenges in our text, and he charges Timothy to be a soldier of the army of God. And Paul emphasizes these four powerful words to Timothy and to all of us. What did he say? "You therefore must endure." It says this, "Hardship is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so this morning, I just want to touch for a moment just on these two short verses and these four words, endure, engage, entangles, enlisted, and share something with all of us here to train us up to be conquerors. In fact, more than conquerors. Are you ready? Come on, somebody. Say, "I'm armed and dangerous." All right. Now, the first phase to becoming a spiritual soldier in God's Holy Ghost boot camp is this. And God's raising up special forces. Number one, endure the hardship of your battle. And I know, and I could tell even myself, that many of us are dealing with hardships. If I said right now, how many here are in a battle? I bet you quite a few of us would say so. And that's good. That's good because you're hearing a word that brings you to the victory. So if you want to be a soldier, you have to have endurance. One of the fruits of the Spirit is called long suffering. And really that means endurance. It really does. It gives you the strength. Paul told Timothy in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier for Christ. This is what Paul says to Timothy. And God's soldiers know how to fight with enduring faith. They do. And I've discovered why people are successful. You know why? Because they outlast and overcome discouragement and doubt. Can I say that again? They outlast and overcome discouragement and doubt, because that's what the enemy wants to put. That's the kryptonite to the Christian. Doubt and discouragement. They outlast the haters. They outlast the failures. They outlast trials. They outlast storms. They outlast burdens. They outlast discouragement and disappointment and detours. I remember recently, about 5-6 years ago, I was going through a lot of major trials, and with certain people, you know, when you go through a trial, you find out who your fans are and who your foes are, amen, and who those are faithful. And oftentimes, when you go for a serious trial, some people will turn on you, and literally begin, like, haters come. And I called Mike Zeller, one of my mentors, and I said, pray for me, Brother Mike. Just going through a lot of things. And I shared with him a particular situation and person that I'm dealing with. It's not my wife. I love my wife. Amen. You know what Mike said? Pastor Mike said, Brother Mike said, he said this. He said, Jimmy, outlove him and outlive him. Outlove him and outlive him. Amen. And Destiny Full Gospel Church, God is raising up real soldiers, hallelujah, who know how to fight and know how to endure hardship for the battles. Come on. God is raising up special forces here today. Amen. And so listen to this. Think about the superheroes of faith. Think about this. Real quick, let me just share this with you, because you've got to understand, in Hebrews Hall of Faith, chapter 11, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Then it goes, by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah. It goes on. It says, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Moses. Think about these people, what they went through. By faith, the walls of Jericho were taken down. And it says, we cannot forget Gideon. We can't forget Barak. Can't forget Samson. Can't forget Jephthah. Can't forget David and Samuel, who broke walls and defeated kingdoms. But here's what really touches me most of all. I'm thankful because all of those people, all of our heroes I just mentioned, you read the stories, they went through hell and God got them through. Amen? But listen to this. This touches my heart. It says this. Listen to this. It says this. It says, they stopped the mouths of lions. And it says they became valiant. And then it says, others were tortured. Others were scourged. Others were put in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in half. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted. And it says, that, and all for their faith. But here's the word that touches my heart. Of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. God puts these people on a category that is higher. He says that the world is not even worthy to touch him. What am I saying to all of you today? If you're experiencing hardships, I want to let you know that Jesus hears you. Jesus is with you. And Jesus will raise you up, whatever hardship you are experiencing today. Oh, come on, give him a big shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a book of faith, chapter 11. We teach, folks, and live this motto here in this church. Don't miss this. Without a battle, there's no blessing. Can I get an amen? Without a conflict, there's no conquest. Without a pain, there's no praise. We can go on and on. And the Christian life is a battle. It's awesome. It's powerful. But there's a battle. And let me tell you, a lot of you are home battling something behind the walls in private place. Let me tell you something here about your battles at home in the private place. Your private battles prepare you for your public battles. So when you get victory in your private battles, you will get victory in your public battles. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I learned in the street. I learned how to fight in the street. And there's certain techniques and certain things that you learn how to fight in the street. But I want to tell you here, all of us are fighters. And we got to continue to fight. And how do we fight? The battle is the Lord's. But how do we fight? We intercede. We pray. We proclaim. We believe. Come on, somebody. You got to fight for your children. Fight for your future. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your family. Fight for your breakthrough. Fight for your victory. And fight with enduring faith. Come on, somebody. God's given us enduring faith. The second phase to become a soldier in God's Holy Ghost boot camp is this. We talked about enduring hardship. Number two, engaged for your battle. You got to be engaged. Now, Paul states in our text, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the world. We'll speak about that in just a moment. But you know what engaged really means? Think about this. Check this out. This is the deepest meaning of the theological biblical doctrine and understanding. Listen to what it means. Engaged literally means I'm armed and dangerous. I studied this word. It means I'm armed and dangerous. Hallelujah. Amen? And when we listen, ladies and men, when we use the word engaged, I want to tell you, it's not the engage you're engaging with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Amen? Although that will be a battle. Ha ha! Come on, somebody. A good battle, right? And the lady said, amen? And the men said, yes, dear. Engaged means this. Listen, I'm in God's army and I'm going to the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what he stole from me. Come on, somebody. Paul said we need to be soldiers who are engaged with God's kingdom, not your own kingdom or the world's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. Engaged means this. We need to not only put the armor of God on, we need to keep it on. Someone say, keep it on. Amen. Now you got to understand what the armor is. You got the helmet of salvation. You got the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. You got the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. You've got to understand what God has given us, all of us. Our shoes, it said, are prepared with the gospel of peace. We have to keep that armor on. But then it says this, which is so interesting. Paul ends with this, having done all, stand. Listen to what he said. Having done all, stand. Let's go back to Exodus 14:14. Go back to the Red Sea. When the children of Israel were released from the Egyptians, they faced the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. Mountains on both sides. They had the Red Sea to get over to the promised land. And what did he say? Be still. Be still. My point is this. Having done all, you stand and you take a stand. Amen? I don't think you get... Let me try to bring this home to us because sometimes you need a Popeye experience. Are you hearing me? Popeye had enough is enough attitude. He said this, I have had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. Come on, somebody. You have to get to the place where enough is enough. Popeye the Sailor Man said it right. I have all I can stand and I can't stand no more. Come on, we got the victory. And our spinach is the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Amen. The third phase to becoming a soldier in God's Holy Ghost boot camp is this. We talked about enduring, engage, and now it's this. Enlist into God's army with an all-in attitude. Someone say enlist. Now, you therefore must endure hardship, Paul said, as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of the life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We're pleasing God in whatever we do. It honors God when you take a stand. And having done all means you've prayed, you supplicated, you're sanctified. And that's our job. And I said to someone this morning, I encouraged him to get to church. I know him for 30 years. And he goes in and out of depression, and he just stopped coming to church. And I said, brother, I said, listen, I said, you got to position yourself. It's your job to position yourself, having done all, and God's going to bless you. And God's going to provide for you. Amen? Do you agree with that? And so you can't become a soldier if you don't enlist. Now, enlisting has an I can and I'm all in attitude. Enlisting says, sign me up, don't leave me out. Don't leave me behind. Enlisting says, you're not going without me. Enlisting says, I'm all in and I'm all in. Can you shout it out? I'm all in. Say with me, I'm all in. And that's what it says. I'm all in. The problem with the church today is we're bending toward the make it easy church. We want quick and easy things, very little commitment in the church. We want shorter services. Don't talk too much about crucifixion. Don't talk too much about the blood. I went to a church once, Pastor Diane, and they literally said, you know, don't preach too much about death and crucifixion and, or, you know, our church, they really need to hear life. And I was like, how the heck can I preach? It's Teen Challenge. They went through hell and death. You know, and I was like, are you kidding me? And there's churches that are like that. Amen? Shorter services, shorter worship songs, shorter preaching. These seeker-friendly churches are raising up wimpy Christians. Can I say it again? These seeker-friendly churches are raising up wimpy Christians. Remember this. Half-baked Christians cannot defeat a full-time devil. Can I say it again? Half-baked Christians cannot defeat a full-time devil. You see, the church wants filet mignon results with their hot dog commitments. Did you get that? The church wants, think about it, filet mignon results without their hot dog commitment. How many here like hot dogs? Raise your hand. How many know that today, you deserve a hot dog? Here, Glenn, you raise your hand. Here you go. How many here? Okay, here you go. Hold on. I just happen to have some more hot dogs. She caught it. Boy, you guys got to learn how to catch. How many here love hot dogs? How many here? One more. Come on. Raise your hand. All right. How many of you need another? I got one. Are you ready? You got good hands? Dino? Yes! But you see, the church, they want filet mignon results with hot dog commitments. And how many here know that God wants some steaks today? God wants some serious... Oh, you guys blew it! You guys blew it! Oh, wait, Pastor, wait, I got something special for you. Come here. Hold on. The real filet mignon. Hold on. All right, let me see. Oh, wait. How many? Oh, wait. This goes to Ernie. This is another filet mignon. Should I give this to Miriam? Let's give it to somebody else. See, she don't want it. Here it is. Somebody come and get it. You got hot dogs. Here you go. We'll give it to the family. Come on, somebody. It's Memorial Day. We're going to make filet mignon commitments. Hallelujah. Paul was saying to Timothy, we're all in. And church, we're all in. Can you say all in again? Check this out. On February 19th, 1519, think about it, true story. The Spanish explorer, Hernan Cortes, set sail for Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. Listen to this. The population upon his arrival, where he was going to do battle, was approximately 5 million people. You hearing this? From a purely mathematical standpoint, the odds were stacked against him. By a ratio of 7,541 people against one of his soldiers. Think about that. Two previous expeditions had failed, yet Cortes conquered much of the South American continent. True story. What Cortes is reported to have done after docking his ships is his all-in moment. My good friend Mark Battison wrote a book called All In. And if you ever want to read some incredible capture, this guy's a genius. He played basketball a couple of years after me. And it just, he would read 230 books a year. And when he, read 3,000 books, he wrote his first book, Chasing Lion. And they're all national bestsellers. It's called All In. Lion Chase is awesome. And so is Circle Makeup. Mark Battison. He had these stats, and I got it from his book. Listen to this. Two previous expeditions had failed, yet Cortes conquered much of South America. And what Cortes is reported to have done after docking his ships was his all-in moment. Listen to this. He issued an order that turned his mission into an all-in or nothing proposition. He said to his sailors, certain sailors, and he commanded, he said, burn the ships. He said, burn the ships. He commanded his crew after they docked to burn the ships. Think about that. As his crew watched their fleet of ships burning and sinking, they came to terms with the fact that there were no options. Plan B was burned in the barbecue. It's plan A or death. You gotta tell somebody it's time to have a barbecue and it's time to burn some ships. Come on, somebody. We need to take a stand and get rid of some stuff and move forward and let God do a new thing. Hallelujah. Give him a big shout. Glory to God. God's raising up all in soldiers ready to submit to the army of God's. Now listen to this. I want to share this with you as we end this message. The fourth phase to becoming a soldier in God's Holy Ghost boot camp is this, to be entangled in God's kingdom, not of this world. Now our text, 2 Timothy, as we shared, you must endure hardships, be engaged, enlist, and do not be entangled. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, this declaration, he said that we may please him who enlisted us as a soldier. So Paul wrote that he may please him who enlisted as a soldier. In other words, what we're doing and how we're getting engaged is that we're glorifying God. And every time you stand and you pray, you're glorifying God. Amen? And back in 1941, as I was speaking, and I heard this from my father, in 1941, after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, President Franklin Roosevelt declared war. You remember that statement. But in just months after this attack, United States set up army enlisting stations all across, listen to this, America. 18 and 25-year-olds flooded these stations with an all-in attitude. They ran. Listen, these were the true patriots. They understood what the Pledge of Allegiance means. They understood the words loyalty, duty, and patriotism. They didn't have to be drafted in. They enlisted. These were true soldiers, true Eddies. They knew that it would be possible that they would die. They were armed and dangerous for the battle. They were engaged for the battle. And in World War II alone, 400,000 Americans were killed for our freedom. They went in not knowing they may never come out, but they stood and they were our heroes and they conquered the war. We won the war. And today as we stand in, we embrace Apostle Paul's teaching, his charge and his challenge that we will be soldiers of the cross. Come on, somebody. God's raising up an army. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Want to pray now. Ask God to touch us. In a very, very beautiful way. Beautiful way. Hallelujah. God is so good. Now listen, we want to pray for any of you here who are going through a battle. We want to pray for you. But I want to pray for all of you. For this word that we will embrace deep in our hearts. And God spoke so clearly to every one of us. Listen what he said. He said this. endure the hardships of your battle. Long suffering. Hallelujah. I have friends that I stayed with for years and years and years and believed in God for them to elevate and for them to be transformed in the image of God. In fact, I had one friend, a brother that I met in Teen Challenge. His name is Wayne. He was crazy, man. Me and him, we lived together in a city. It wasn't good. They had to separate us because crazy met crazy as we were being discipled to teach out. But when he graduated, he backslid. He'd go into another program, backslid. I got him into 17, or himself and me got him into 17 Teen Challenge programs. Are you hearing me? He was crazy. But I stuck with him. I remember one of the counselors said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. I said, no, I can't leave him alone. I suffered with him. Do you know that Wayne, one time I had him work for me, I had to fire him and leave him. And you know what he did? And I got on my knees to pray for him. He spit all over me. And I got on my knees and he's spitting on me, full of anger. I continue to pray, continue to love him. Hallelujah. Come on up, worship team. Where's Frank? Amen. He's in there eating. Get over here, Frank. Amen. And so listen to this. Worked with Wayne, and Wayne got saved. He even went to Bible school. He got married. He lived in a cardboard box. And when I visited him in Springfield, Missouri, I went to his apartment. And you know what Wayne said? He said, Jim, come. He comes up. He says, look at these leather couches. It's beautiful. He goes, Jim, they're mine. High five, Wayne. He goes, comes in and freezes. I'm not kidding. He was homeless for a year. He comes in his kitchen. He opens up the freezer. There's steaks. He goes, they're mine. And then he opens up a bedroom, king-size bed. They're mine. He took his wallet out. True story. He said, Jim, look, credit cards. High five. Then he took me into another room. We opened up the door, and there was his baby. He said, she's mine. That's what God does. And that's what God does when you become a soldier. And you commit to people. You believe in them. You fight with them. Amen. So I want to pray for all of us here to be empowered with the Holy Ghost on this Memorial Day. How many here need a touch and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Come on up. We're just going to leave, end with a prayer. Come on up. We're going to worship one song and just ask God to touch you. Now listen, how many here have family members that need Jesus desperately? Come on up and get empowered for them. Amen. Let's believe God. You have a career you want. You know, listen, the enemy does not, when you become a Christian, all hell breaks out against you. Amen. And we want to pray for God to touch you in a very powerful way this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Can you put up that title, Lisa? Glory to God. Glory to God. Come. Come on up. Amen. God is so good. This morning, I'm not sure, and I don't know everybody here, but I do know most of you. But for those who say, you know what? I really need to rededicate my life to Jesus. Could I pray for you? Could I just pray for you? And maybe we'll join with those, because I'm sure there's a few of you here. We don't want you to leave here without that opportunity. Could you say this with me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. With my mouth, I proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come on, let's thank the Lord for that. Now I want to pray for God to empower you with the Holy Spirit, with the power. And I want to just pray this prayer for you, and it's for me too. In the name of Jesus, we pray this scripture, Lord, that we will be able to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for verse 4. Not to be entangled in the warfare of the world, or not to get the enemy be allowed to entangle us, but we would be engaged in the warfare of the kingdom of God. And Lord, we pray this prayer that God, we would please you as we are enlisted in your army. Our names are written the Lamb's Book of Life. And in a sense, God, we're enlisted as soldiers for Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be flaky, but we would be empowered by faith. I pray for all of us who are here, who came up, that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost. You would fill us with the Word of God. You would touch us and empower us in Jesus' name. And today we proclaim that everybody in this house are soldiers of the cross with enduring faith to conquer every evil force and to become everything you call us to be. We pray for our families, hallelujah. We pray for our marriages. We pray for our careers. We pray for our finances. And we pray for our bodies and health, that God, we'd prosper in all things in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout, we've got the victory. Lord bless us as we celebrate Memorial Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Give about seven people a high five. Tell them you love them in the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.